1 John chapter 4, page 1212 in your pew Bibles. Before we read, let's ask the Lord to bless His word. Let's pray. Lord, it is a great privilege to be in your presence and to hear your word. Unless your Spirit comes to open our ears to hear what you have to say, we will hear but not listen. We will hear but not understand. We will hear and not do. That will not profit us or glorify you. So we pray that you would come, that you would open our minds, that we would understand, that you would inform our wills, that we would obey, and that you would stir our hearts, that we would truly love and marvel at your grace to us in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in verse 7, 1 John 4, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we may live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. This far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. You'll be helped just to leave your Bibles open as we reflect on these words together. We come this morning to that great statement that John makes here in verse 8. God is love. We have seen in our reflection on who our God is, His attributes, that John tells us God is spirit, God is light, and now he says God is love. Now we need to grasp what he is telling us here, because there is much confusion. People love to talk about God as love, but most of the time that love is unrecognizable as God's love. C.S. Lewis was right. The ones we divorce love from God as He revealed Himself, it becomes demonic. It is no longer truly an expression of who God is. The love of God is far more beautiful and yet far more troubling when we consider it in light of all that we have seen. Remember, there is no competition between the attributes of God. There is no conflict between God's love and God's righteousness. We'll have more to say about that tonight. A little bit this morning. There is no conflict between God's holiness and His love. God is all of His attributes all of the time. A.W. Tozer explains that one day we would fully grasp the reality in such a way that we would find shocking now. He says, I believe that at the end of time, when we are known as we know, it will be found that even the damning of a man is an expression of the love of God as certainly as the redeeming of a man. God cannot separate Himself into parts and do with one attribute one thing and with another another. All that God is determines all that God does. So when God redeems a man in love or damns another in justice, He is not contradicting Himself. But justice and love are working together in the one being of God. We cannot grasp it. That's why we need to listen closely to what the Scripture says. Now we need to understand the nature of God's love, the essence of His love. John does not say God is loving. Neither does he say God loves. He says God is love. Now, of course, God is loving, and of course he loves. But that's something that God does. What John is saying is who God is. In Himself, He is love. It is part of His being. It is not what He does, it's who He is. He is eternally, essentially love. And so to understand love, we have to grasp with how God is love in Himself. Now we cannot grasp that apart from what God has revealed. What we see here is that John makes clear that the nature of God's love is known through how God expresses it. Now, I know that's what we're going to talk about in our second point, but it's already here that we need to see that the only way we get to God's love is there. And what do we see? He tells us in verse 9 and 10, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son. And verse 10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and sent His Son. You see, God's love is His moving from Himself, God giving His Son. That's why John 3:16 brings that home so beautifully. For God so loved the world that he gave. Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God's love is his eternal giving of himself. That is the core of love. John Stott says that love is the self-sacrifice, the seeking of another's positive good at one's own cost. That's the love of God we see here. Now, it is crucial that we understand God's love is not, first of all, directed to us. God is love. He needs no one else. Now you see, love, as it is outgoing, demands something to love or someone. But because God always exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one holy Trinity, God needs no one outside himself to love. The Father loved the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and the Father and the Son loves the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loves the Father and the Son. And so we have a fellowship of love eternally fulfilling, eternally perfect. Now, why do we need to emphasize that? Because all the love we experience is really the spilling over of the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for one another. It is as though the Father's love for the Son was too great to merely remain there, and so he created the world for the glory of his Son. And he set his love upon a people for the sake of his Son. And he gave them to his Son, and his Son, in love to his Father, bound himself to redeem those people for his Father. And the Holy Spirit, because he loves the Son and the Father, determined to make sure that all those for whom the Son died, whom the Father has given to the Son, will be with them forever. That's why Jonathan Edwards, the great, some circles, the greatest American preacher, said that heaven is a world of love. It is the place where the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit's love is manifested. And the amazing part is that we get drawn into that love. That the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's love pulls us in. It is an amazing reality. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, brings that out in such an amazing way. He prays for us. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? He says, Father, I want those whom you have given me, those for whom I died, I want them to be with me to see the glory that I have because you have loved me. But not only do I want them with me, I will make sure that they know you, Father, that they know you in such a way that the love which you have for me may be in them, because I am in them. This is amazing, isn't it? You can read the congregational thought, life thought, whatever that is called. It expresses this thought even in more tender terms. But this is what we have to see, that we're dealing here with God's love, and that love that he is, he wants us to know. And that's why God expresses the love towards us. And notice once again what John says about the expression of God's love. In this, the love of God was manifested among us. God is love, but he manifests that love in sending his Son into the world. Now, the problem with us is that we often read our own understanding of words into the word. So when we read John say, God sent his Son into the world, we think of a globe. We think of a place. But especially for John, the word world is not a place, but it is the world that has the character of rebellion. It is the world that is at war with God. It is the sinful, evil world. That's why in John 3:16, when he says, God so loved the world, he's not saying God's love is so big. Let's just be honest. If you know anything about the galaxy, you know that this world is actually very small. So if John were to say God's love is big, he would not have said world in the small way we understand it. No, John's point is the character of God's love is displayed in loving objects that are unloveworthy, that don't deserve his love, exactly the opposite. that we are worthy of God's judgment, God's wrath. And yet, God displays his love by loving the very world that is in rebellion against him. But not only in the object of God's love do we see the depth of God's love, the character and quality, we see it also in the gift of God's love. He sent his only Son, and he emphasizes that. Not too long ago, we heard once again the story of Abraham. And where God asked Abraham to bring his son, his only son, his much beloved son, Isaac. That's what we see here. God's love is displayed in the gift of his own son. Now, the gifts often display how much we value the other person. Now, we're limited. We don't have unlimited budgets. But we try and display love to the limit that we can. God gave us the greatest gift he could. He gave us his own son. And it's not because we are so valuable. No. But it's because he loves so much. But then, why did he give us his son? John makes clear in verse 10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here is that word again. It's one of those big Bible words, propitiation. In the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take the blood of a slaughtered goat or bull, and he would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. The mercy seat, which is the top part of the Ark of the Covenant, which was an emblem of God's throne. And what was in the Ark was the law of God. And so, once a year, the high priest could go in there, but he dare not go without blood. And he would sprinkle the blood there, because God's people have sinned and need to have God's righteous judgment removed. And the word propitiation points to the turning away of God's wrath, that he gave his son to stand there in the place where condemned sinners belong. that he displays his love by giving his son so that the judgment that is ours, the rejection and wrath that we deserve, fell on him. Do you understand the enormity and wonder of this love? God stopped at nothing to redeem us. That's why it's not strange that John says, love is not defined by our love for God, but his love for us. That's where we see it. And our songs brings out the rejoicing of God's people in that love. We're going to sing, not this morning, but tonight, the simple but beautiful words, what wondrous love is this, O my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? Can you sing that? Can you marvel at the wonder of God's love that would be willing to send his son, his only son, his much-loved son for you? This is not abstract. We see the tenacity of God's love that is willing to go into hell itself, into the judgment that our sin deserves, so that we will be rescued, so that we don't have to go there. That's the love of God. Now, do you see the immense comfort of this love? You and I cannot make God love us less. Let me say it again. You cannot, by your sinning, by your life of rebellion, make God love you less. Now I know that is dangerous. I'm not saying you may sin freely. No. Those who know this love don't want to go on sinning. But here's the thing. At times we think that we fail so much that God cannot love us anymore, that we have to fix our life, that we have to do better, we have to do more. Then God will love us again. The devil will whisper in your ear, don't you for a moment think God would love someone like you? No. If God loved us before we have done any good or evil, before knowing exactly our sin in our lives completely. He loved us when we were still, as Paul says, enemies of God, still sinners. He loved us. Then he will keep loving us now. Do not let the devil rob you of the comfort of knowing this love of God, of resting in it. So look to Christ and not to yourself. Look to him, because in him you see the love of God. And that will melt your heart. But now, do you see what John says? If you truly know God's love, that love changes you in your relationship with other people. You cannot say, I love God, but I will not love you. Now, we do say that, don't we? We say that a lot. There's some people we like, some people we will love, but there's others that, well, we would rather avoid. Are not careful, even though they have been redeemed by Christ too. And John is very emphatic. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves have been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Do you hear his logic? It's impossible to say, I love God, and truly love him, knowing that you are loved by God, and not love other people. Our love for one another is the manifestation that the love of God has transformed our hearts. Our care for each other. Our genuine interest in each other. Is a display of the depth of our understanding of the cross. Why is it that Reformed people who hold to the work of Christ the most are often called the frozen chosen? Why is it that Reformed people aren't the most caring and loving? Might be a lot of reasons. I won't blame our ancestry. But it is troubling. Which means we need to sink our hearts deeper in the gospel. So let me ask you, brother and sister, boys and girls, is it evident in the way in which you treat other people? Well, let's just begin. Husbands and wives, is it evident in the way in which you treat each other that you know the love of God? Is it evident, boys and girls, the way you treat your brother and sister The way you treat one another at home, the way you treat your parents. That Christ has captivated your hearts. Is it evident in our lives that God is love? Do we display that we know Him and we have been born of Him? John says it is impossible not to. We stop reading at verse 12, but just listen to how he goes on. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, there it is again. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Do you hear that? Whoever remains in love remains in God, and God in him. By this is the love perfected within us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears have not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must love his brother. The two cannot be separated from one another. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that your loving nature astounds us. It leaves us marveling that you, in your glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is love, and you delight to display that love so that we may become partakers of that love. We thank you, Lord, that you love us in spite of who we are, that you have loved us at great cost to yourself. So we thank and praise you, Father, for giving us your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving yourself. And we praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Father and Son, for giving us the Holy Spirit, that your love may be poured out into our hearts. May we know Christ. May we know him as he bears away our sin. And may his sacrifice change us. You know us, each of us, as we are here this morning. You know the self-centeredness that fills our hearts. You know the way in which we demand love from others but struggle to love. The way in which we put ourselves first. Teach us to love as you have loved, Lord, so that the world may see your love as you display it in conquering our hearts and lives. May this congregation be an illustration more fully of what it means to know you in the way in which we love one another. To that end, Lord, may you give that your word would not only be heard, but also be lived. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In